talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marion way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange. Read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on today, the Exchange Club.
And we're back here at WWGH Radio Getaway Black Friday during the pandemic. Historic Black Friday. Friday, November 27th, 2020. 15 minutes past the hour. Joined in studio by Mike Wilson, host of The Mike Wilson Show, every Monday, 5:10 to 6 p.m., live right here on this station. This coming Monday, the guest will be a former participant in Playboy magazine, as well as a star of the TV series Hee Haw, as a Hee Haw honey, and a car hop on Happy Days,
yes.
Misty Rowe, an author of a new book. That'll be this coming Monday, 5:10 to 6 p.m., and then the following Monday, 5:10 to 6 p.m., we'll have Fred Malone as the guest and a World War II veteran who's in his late 90s to discuss Pearl Harbor, as December 7th is Pearl Harbor Day. All right, Mike. Now, tell us about Emily Rowe, the big guest Monday. Misty Rowe, not Emily Rowe.
I was going to say, I'm going to have two guests.
Well, I don't have paperwork over here for this.
You did pretty well anyhow. Hey, I'd like to let people know that her new book that she has out, her first book, as a matter of fact, is Misty Memories. And it's about her experiences in show business and how she got to where she was. A lot of it's dedicated to her 19 years on Hee Haw. And it will be available on Amazon.com, or you can pre-order it at, got your pen and pencil ready? You can pre-order Misty Memories at www.mistyrowebook.com. And Rowe has an E on it. So that's Misty, R-O-W-E, book.com.
Misty Book or Misty Rowe Book?
Misty Rowe Book. Did I say Misty Book?
Misty Book.
Well,
now this is all screwed up. Now, turn your pencil over with the eraser and let's try this again. This is how you get the book. Okay, Mike, let's run that through again. If you want Misty Rowe's new book, accounting for her 19 years on Hee Haw.
And other things.
You go to
www.mistyrowebook.com.
And Rowe is with an E.
Rowe is with an E.
So MistyRowebook.com.
Yes, sir.
All
That's
right.
It. That's it. We got it.
Well.
And you know, she's only 68 years old. She was born in 1952. That's not much older than me.
Well, you know, she's she was a young thing, I guess, then on Hee Haw.
Yes, she was. I mean, she was in her 20s, I believe. So, and she didn't come in the first season. She came in a little bit later. So I'm not even sure. I'd have to find out on that what year she started with Hee Haw. But, of course, we'd seen her on Happy Days before that and in several TV shows and some movies. I think it's interesting that she portrayed Marilyn Monroe. And I did.
Now, what were those Marilyn Monroe movies again?
Goodbye, Norma Jean.
Goodbye,
from 1976.
Norma. Okay.
And I believe that was the name of an Elton John song, which might have been the theme for that, because she did meet Elton John. And the other movie was Goodnight, Sweet Marilyn, which came out in 1989.
Interesting. And that'll be Monday live. And live radio is great, because we don't know what will happen.
Oh, we don't. That's sure. That's
and you're
sure.
going to ask her right off the bat about Playboy. How much did you get paid?
We'll work that in eventually.
I'm telling you, you cannot leave this out of the interview at this point, because that's what's got the most attention this morning from the listening audience.
That's true. That's true.
If she wants to move that book, I mean, I don't want to tell her how to run her business, but if she wants to move that book, she's going to have to talk about Playboy.
Well, I'm sure that is in the book. It's part of her public experience. I'm sure she'll get lots of exposure, as she did at that time. And
she gave lots. Not only got a lot, she gave a lot.
Yeah, yeah. So Christy Rowe, or Christy, no, you got me saying.
No, I said Emily, you're saying Christy.
Christy Rowe, next Monday, 5:10 till 6, the Mike
Is
Wilson
Show. Is it next Monday or this Monday?
This coming Monday, the 30th of November.
And next Monday is Pearl Harbor.
Yes, sir.
I mean, is that right? I mean, it's semantics. 7th. It's semantics.
Right.
But next Friday would be not this Friday.
Well,
this Monday. No, today. It's not going to be today. Monday, you'll have Emily. No, Misty. Oh, jeez. And now we're number 5. It all hits the fan. Okay. On this coming Monday, 5:10 to 6 p.m., November the 30th.
Correct.
Emily. No.
No.
Why is that stuck in my... Is there an Emily
Misty,
Rowe?
Misty. Misty
Is there
Rowe.
An Emily Rowe?
I don't know.
You call her Christy. Don't jump on me.
I got to make sure I call her the right name.
Yeah, yeah. We got Christy Rowe here today. Misty. You know why that? You know why that's not good? Because nobody has that name. Whoever has a name Misty.
Well, she does.
Well, I understand that, but who else?
I don't know. There's a song called Misty.
Is that a real name? Ask her that.
Actually, that I don't believe it is. I can't remember what her real name is.
Emily. I've just been pronouncing her
maybe,
by her,
maybe
her
a
Christian name at this point.
Maybe it's Cynthia. I don't know.
Okay, so Misty Rowe, Monday, November 30th, and then the big Pearl Harbor show coming up on December the 7th.
Okay, her name was actually Miss Stella Rowe.
Yeah, oh, that shows it all right up. That's
a Misty.
That's a much more common name. Little Miss Stella's running around everywhere.
Yep. So she started with Junior Samples in the BR549 segments.
What? Junior's dead, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Yes.
But they replaced him with...
Maynard.
But what's it? Gaylord.
Gaylord Maynard.
Who I think he was much more talented than Junior.
Yeah, they had a lot of trouble with Junior not really knowing his lines or getting the jokes.
I think he was just a big fat guy, right? I mean, that was the joke,
yeah,
wasn't it? Because Lulu was the big fat woman. I mean, we talked about that.
Right.
But Lulu does have talent. She can sing.
Lulu's amazing.
Talented woman. But I don't think Junior had any talent other than being a big fat guy in overalls.
Right. He started out with a story about fishing, and they made a record of it, and that's how he ended up on Hee Haw.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's Junior Samples.
That's Junior Samples.
And, you know, they gave him a good name, too. You know, this is a funny thing. Do you ever notice how people are so touchy now? But they used to call people things like Fatso and Junior and Chubby. But people remember, I think they did it because it described them, but it was also memorable.
Right.
It wasn't like Bob and Jerry and, you know, Jerry Samples. Nobody remember that.
No, that's probably true.
Yeah.
It's probably true.
And Grandpa Jones certainly wasn't his name.
Now, I can tell you something about Grandpa Jones. My dad had actually met him. I guess he had friends in Cardington here in Ohio. And after the Grand Ole Opry some nights, he would drive, or I don't know if somebody drove him or he drove. He would come from Tennessee to Cardington, Ohio, of all places.
Well, he should have took a nap. He just left in the morning. That's a long haul.
Back in those days, he was quite young, and he had to use makeup and dye his hair for...
Well, that's interesting you mentioned, because that's what I wanted to talk about, because I also wanted to contrast him with Minnie Pearl, because that wasn't her real name either.
No.
Yeah, she had a very... And also, apparently, a very smart woman.
She was.
I don't know if Grandpa was smart. I'm not saying he was dumb. I mean, he was definitely a good actor. But Minnie Pearl was a very, very, very smart, wise comedian.
Yes. Yes, that's what I understand. And to play the part that she did, she would have to be.
I think but see, this is where I think there's a contrast. Now, definitely Grandpa Jones had musical ability. He was certainly more talented than Junior Samples. He wasn't just a joke. But I don't think Grandpa, that was him.
Right.
Yeah. That was not Minnie Pearl. When Minnie took the hat off and, you know, she was not a down-home girl.
No. She was sophisticated. Her actual name was Sarah Ophelia Collie Cannon.
Yeah. So I think a lot of people on Hee Haw like Grandpa Jones and Junior Samples and Lulu, they embodied their character. Kind of the same people. She was not. She was not Minnie Pearl at all.
No, she'd actually starred in the Grand Ole Opry in 1939, so her name was pretty much out there by the time Hee Haw came along.
Oh, same thing with Grandpa Jones, though, wasn't it?
Yes.
I mean, he was pretty well known.
Sure, and they knew each other pretty well.
But now was he older or younger than her?
That is a good question.
Because that's what I was driving at. They were the two golden oldies on Hee Haw. But I don't think he was as old as he portrayed to be.
Grandpa Jones was born in 1913.
And died when?
When his heart stopped.
What year was that? Was anybody near him? They may write it down.
1998.
Really? Yeah. So he lived to be rather old.
Yes, he did.
How old was he? He would have been 98, so he would have been in his 80s.
8 minus 3 is 5. 9 minus 1 is 80. 85.
85.
Yes.
Now, I don't think Minnie lived to be that old. Now, what year was Minnie born?
That's a good question. I will have the answer here in a moment.
Sarah Ophelia Cannon was her real name.
Yes, it was.
Minnie Pearl.
And Minnie was born in 1912.
Well, she was older.
Yes.
A year older than Grandpa Jones.
She died in 1996.
2 years before him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they were both about the same age when they died.
That's true, yep.
He would have been a year older.
Yep.
Now, Junior Samples died while Hee Haw was on the air, didn't he?
I do believe so.
Now, his heart stopped.
He died in 1983.
Junior?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was still on the air.
Yeah.
But that Gaylord guy they replaced him with, now he was actually talented. He went on to do some movies.
He was a very funny young man. I would say young. I think he was young at the time. It's always hard to tell.
Now, I think he's still alive, a matter of fact.
Is he?
I think you believe he is.
Okay. Yes, I think he is.
But he came in as just the fat, good old boy in overalls, but he was talented. I think they realized after doing the fat, good old boy thing with Junior and having absolutely zero talent that they did not want to do that again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think you got to have some talent.
Well, I think so. To be on the radio, you got to have a little bit of talent.
But some people aren't. Some people don't. They prove that. You know, it's interesting, though. To me, I was never a huge fan of... I guess being a fan and thinking somebody has no talent are two different things.
That's true.
Now, who is your least... We always ask who the favorite is. Who is your least favorite person ever on radio? Maybe they had talent, but you just didn't care for what they did.
Oh, my. Well, there were certainly a lot of talented people on radio, and a lot of them came from the days of vaudeville, and then transitioned to TV. My least favorite? I don't know. Fred Allen had an annoying voice, I will say that. I don't know. That's a good question.
You know, I'll tell you why. And this has nothing to do with politics, but I think Rush Limbaugh. Because here's why. Because I think he's doing a show.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a show.
Right.
I don't think you could be that angry every day.
I think a lot of that is a show with him.
Right, but he doesn't portray it as a show.
Gaylord Sartain.
Yeah, and but he's still alive, is he not?
It doesn't have a death date, just a birth date. So.
Yeah, I think he's still alive.
Yes.
He went on to do a lot of those Ernest movies, I think.
He was Sheriff Orville P. Bullmoose in what movies? I don't know.
Didn't he do some Ernest movies?
He might have.
I think he did.
I love those movies, by the way.
Well, now see, now you just did a big swath. Because there were like four of them that were good, and then about 20 where I think the budget got cut.
Yeah.
Like Ernest Goes to Africa is not...
I don't think I've seen that
well,
one.
Well, you don't want to.
Okay.
Don't waste your time. No, the ones that were good, I mean, obviously the first one was Ernest Goes to Camp. That was the big hit. And then you got Ernest. Oh, Ernest Saves Christmas was a theatrical production.
Yeah, that was actually not bad.
Not a bad movie.
Right.
And Ernest Scared Stupid is not bad. It's a Halloween one. And Ernest Goes to Jail is not a bad one. But I think after that, they were like direct-to-cassette releases. And the plot and the writing and the cast was not what it should have been.
That's probably true. But I think Ernest is funny no matter what.
Well, I mean,
You know what I mean, Vern?
Well, do you know who was in Ernest Scared Stupid as one of the characters? Eartha Kitt?
Is oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I.
So they had a budget in those days.
Yeah, they must have to get Eartha on there.
Yeah.
She was a big name.
Well, and Ernest, the Christmas Ernest, I forget who plays Santa Claus, but he was an old British actor, pretty famous, see him in a lot of movies.
Okay.
Well, since we are in the Christmas Eve, what's your favorite Christmas movie?
I really like It's a Wonderful Life. That's an oldie, but it's just...
Now, do you like the original?
The original much better than the...
Do you like when they colored it?
Well, I guess I'm a traditionalist. I'd rather they didn't, but I can see why people want it colored.
Now, I had Zuzu on.
Yes, I remember that, yes.
And I also had on... what's
I want
name?
A hippopotamus for Christmas.
Oh, yeah, but no, from It's a Wonderful Life. I had another cast member from that on. Oh, man, what is her... She played the... Oh, gosh. She was the wife of, obviously, one of the younger characters. Ruth, what was the family's name?
Bailey.
No, it wasn't Bailey. Ruth Denken or Duncan or something. She's in that. She's the. There's a young kid in the movie, right? Young guy.
Okay.
And she was his fiance or love interest or something. Wife, maybe.
Oh.
Do you have it pulled up there? Do you have the cast pulled up?
I'm looking for the cast right now.
Yeah.
117 people in this cast.
Oh, no, but it would have been
Donna Reed.
It would have been the credited cast.
Donna Reed.
Not Donna Reed. She's dead.
Beulah Bondi as Mrs. Bailey.
No.
Gloria Graham.
No.
As Violet. Mary Treen as Cousin Tilly.
No.
Virginia Patton, Ruth Dakin.
That's it.
Okay.
I did have that right. How did I remember that?
You did have that right.
Yes. I had her on.
Oh, and William Edmonds played Santa Claus, but didn't he also play Santa Claus in Miracle on 34th Street?
I don't know, but Miracle on 34th Street, it's not my favorite, but why that movie is not in the category and shown as much as It's a Wonderful Life and A Christmas Carol, I don't understand, because I think it's the cleverest Christmas movie.
Oh, it is. It is.
I don't think, you know, It's a Wonderful Life. They rip that off all the time. You know, What If I Hadn't Been Here?
Right.
And they rip Christmas Carol off all the time, mm-hmm. Ghost of Christmas. But Miracle on 34th Street is a brilliant, brilliant movie. What a premise. Santa Claus on trial.
Right.
And the ending, if you haven't seen it, is as good as Manchurian Candidate. It's such a twist ending. It's so great.
Yeah, and they didn't spoil the idea of Santa Claus with the children either with that movie. So,
well, that's what
family,
I mean.
The whole family could see it.
Yeah, but the explanation, which is the ending,
mm-hmm.
is what's so brilliant about that movie, to me. But the whole premise is good, and it had real. I mean, not that Jimmy Stewart, obviously, and Donna Reed were very good actors, and the people who've played Scrooge over the years, like George C. Scott, which I think is the definitive version, is obviously that's a great cast. But I mean, Maureen O'Hara, that's a really good cast.
Oh yeah. Oh.
But why is that movie not held like the others?
Did you know William Frawley was in that movie as well?
Miracle on 34th?
Yes.
What'd he do?
Charlie Halloran.
Was he a banker?
I do not remember.
I think I remember that
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
But I, that is still, but people don't show that one like they show the others. It was also the first one in color, because It's a Wonderful Life was not in color.
No, it was not. That was in color?
Okay. I believe it was.
Okay. You know, the color on those early color movies was a different kind of color than what's on today's movies. Do you ever notice that?
It is. It's almost like it's painted on.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
But that's a great one. But it's not my favorite. Now, my favorite is a weird, obscure one, but it's Bill Murray Scrooged.
Oh, yeah.
I think that is the best, because it takes the Scrooge, which so many people have done, but it takes a really good actor, Bill Murray, and the putting it at in a production of It's a Christmas Carol. I think that was kind of a genius idea.
Now, I watched Christmas Vacation last night.
People like that one.
I like that one, too.
Yeah, people like that one. People also like Elf.
Yeah, Elf is good.
Elf is very popular. People like... Well, but by the way, if anyone wants to throw out their favorite Christmas movie,
sure,
give us a call if we haven't said it. What's your favorite Christmas movie, and how long can you keep old turkey? We don't know yet. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But usually during Christmas, I try to see Scrooged. I do try to see Ernest. I do think that's a very good movie, Ernest Saves Christmas. And I try to see Miracle on 34th. I think those are and A Christmas Carol with George C. Scott. Those are the four. You know, one year, one of those movie channels like TCM or A&E, they got this bright idea, which wasn't a bright idea because they've never done it since. But they decided that they were going to run they picked three movies. I don't remember. Well, one of them was George C. Scott's Christmas Carol. That's how I know this. But they picked three Christmas movies, and they ran them constantly, almost back to back to back to back to back, all December long.
Oh, wow.
And by the 50th time, you have worn that movie out.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I think they did that with It's a Wonderful Life. I think that's why they don't show it as much anymore.
Yeah, it used to be shown a lot.
Yeah, I think it and it became a joke.
Yeah.
That, this is the 900th airing of It's a Wonderful Life.
And then the new one came out, and the new one's good, but not
there's
like
a new
the
one?
A few years ago, yeah. I can't remember
I didn't know
what year.
Why do they do that?
Because it was good the first time, so they figure it'll be good the second time.
Yeah, but they don't even change the dialogue. I mean, it's not... There's not even a whole lot different.
Right. Well, they do the same thing with some TV shows nowadays.
Yeah, but I would like to see at least a little something changed about them. I mean, if you want to take the central idea of, world would have been better without me, that's okay. But at least change the idea. You know, don't make it a banker. Make it a butcher or something. Change it up.
Yeah. Well, it was remade in 1990. Miracle on 34th Street was remade in 1994.
They've remade that a couple times, I think.
Yeah.
Which, that's terrible. Because how can you remake that ending? You can't redo that. Either you've seen the ending or you haven't.
That's true.
It's like when they remade Manchurian Candidate. I thought they must be banking on people haven't seen the original. Because the whole movie's predicated on the ending.
That could be true. They probably figured enough folks have been born since that was out that this new generation hasn't seen it.
Well, it's just like I'm funny about... now, everybody wants to hear 'Twas the Night Before Christmas,
mm-hmm.
and I'm big on that. As a matter of fact, I think one thing I've been doing for 7 years is having celebrities and local people recite it, because I wanted to have a big collection of this. And now, 7 years later, so many people, those people have left... Who
right,
have done it.
Right.
Which is great to have it on. But the one, it's not my favorite. The one that I like better than the other ones, which they don't do a whole lot, because I just think it was a real story, is Yes, Virginia, There Is a Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's far better.
It's a good one.
But it's just not as well known. And what a story that is. Now, that should have been, I know it's been made a movie, but it should have been made a much bigger holiday classic, big star power type of a movie.
Did they make that into a movie?
I believe they did.
I know that it's been, several cartoons have been made.
I think plays have been done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think it'd be really cool if the staff of WWGH would get around the microphones and do a Christmas carol sometime.
Well, no, this has been a theory, but you know what? Here's the problem. I hate to call people out, but here's what happens. This is what you need. I mean, doing it would be great, and it could be staged live and great and perfect. Well, here we go. Let's put it on you right now. We're doing it this year, okay? But here's the two problems we've run into. They are not big problems. They seem silly, but for some reason, they take it down every year, okay? Number one, nobody can get the script and make 20 copies of it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that seems to be a big issue for people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. It shouldn't be, because finding the script should not be that hard, and going out to Office Depot and having them run off 20 copies should not be that difficult, black right. and white paper. But that seems to be a hang-up.
And the copyright shouldn't be a problem at this point.
No, not for that.
Right.
It's been done by schools and everything. And even if there was a small copyright, we could pay that. We're only going to do it once. But that's it. People have never found the whole play and have never been able to get it run off, because everybody does have to have a copy of it who's participating.
Right, sure.
Okay, that's number one problem that we've always had. And the number two problem is I forget how many parts are in it, but there's an exorbitant amount.
Oh, that's true, too.
So, but that's fixable, because all you really have to do is go through, because some of the parts, like a kid saying, "How are you, Mr. Scrooge?" that's not necessary to the central plot. Just going in and getting rid of, like, those kid parts. Because really all you need a narrator to fill you in. You need Scrooge. You need the ghosts.
Yes.
You need the three ghosts. You need Scrooge's nephew.
Right.
And you need...
you have to have Tiny Tim.
And you need Jacob Marley. Yes. And Tiny Tim's father, Bob Cratchit. But that's it.
Yes.
You'd be on nine people. And you take all the others and just dump those parts, because they're really not essential to the story. But that's the two hang-ups that have caused why we have not done it. So you are going to overcome the right here. We got plenty. This is the day after Thanksgiving. You're going to overcome this, right?
I am.
No, this is what we're, because you said this would be great, right?
We'll see what we can do.
Now, see, here it ain't going to happen, folks. We've tried this for 7 years, and these two problems are insurmountable for some reason.
And the other thing is, we'd have a hard time getting everybody here at the same time.
Oh, no, I bet we could do it, because I know the people who would play these, and it wouldn't even have to be all station personnel.
Okay.
And I know putting some people on some of these parts would be a lot of fun. Because the ghosts, the way they're written, mm-hmm. can be male or female.
That's true.
So you could get some females cast in this, because there aren't a whole lot of females cast in this. You could get some females cast as the ghosts.
Now, if Charlie was here, I would say he'd be a good...
Scrooge.
I think he could do Scrooge.
I think he could. You got to have an old man be Scrooge.
That's true.
Yeah.
I don't qualify.
I don't know who would be good at Scrooge when I think about it now. You know, I'll tell you who would be a good Scrooge. Would be, I don't want to say it on the air, because if we do this, it'll give it away. But I have an idea of who would be a good Scrooge. And I think you would be a good, it'd have to be a big part, because you're good at this sort of thing. So it'd have to be, who's got the second biggest part outside of Scrooge?
Probably Bob Cratchit.
You think? He's in it as much. Now, the ghosts are very small, because they just come in once and do their thing, and they're out. And Marley's once, and he's out.
The Ghost of Christmas Past has a rather large part, from what I remember.
Yeah, the Ghost of Christmas Future is a very short part.
Very short, yes.
Yeah, that's
to
not
the cemetery, and you're done.
You're done. That's all there is.
Yeah,
that's more of a Scrooge thing. And Jacob Marley, he's in and out. He just gives the warning, and then he's gone.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It would probably be either Bob Cratchit or, well, yeah, because Bob, he appears in the beginning, because Scrooge is awful to him. And then he also appears in the past, mm-hmm. or the present. He appears in the present, yeah. And then he also appears in the end.
Right, yeah. right.
Oh, and the future. because we find out that Tiny Tim's dead, too.
That's true.
Yeah. So he's in it quite a bit.
Well, and some people could do more than one part.
Well, if you can adjust your voice.
Some of us are more adaptable.
Well, I just think it'd be interesting, because that would be the one to do. And it would be fun to do it.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
And once that's recorded, we could use
forever.
It year after year, yeah.
Forever.
That's true.
It's evergreen.
It's like that turkey it's put in the freezer. You can eat it forever.
See, I think telling people that, they're going to get sick. They're not going to make it to next Thanksgiving.
If you put it in the freezer, you're going to kill your bacteria and so on. It's going to be fine.
See, I don't think you can put cooked. Well, I guess a lot of people do. I don't know. But what's the thing you can't do? You can't unthaw raw meat.
Then
okay, why?
Exactly. Because it's been exposed to stuff in the air that's going to deteriorate it and make it rot faster.
Could be. I don't doubt it.
That's my guess.
Well, I was thinking back to other Christmas. Is there any Christmas play that has the mirth of that one? Christmas Carol?
Well, another fun one that might be a copyright problem with it, though, is A Charlie Brown Christmas.
It'd be interesting. I'm trying to think of any of the... I mean, is Miracle on 34th Street... I'm sure it was made into a play.
Oh, I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was.
Because that's really not a lot of casting.
It's a Wonderful Life. I know... had been on the radio as well, so there are scripts, radio scripts out there, I'm sure, that would be a shortened version from the movie. I might have a copy of that at home, actually.
Well, those old scripts are interesting because a lot of it is not well written, but you get the point.
Right, right. And they took a lot of movies back in the days of radio and would condense them down to, you know, a half an hour or however long the... radio show would be and make a shorter version. So maybe we could find something like that.
Well, you know, when Bob Hope was doing radio and pretty much what he ended up doing on television, I thought was pretty unique is he would take the idea of these old things that were long versions and he would take four or five of them and have his writers write very short versions them with less parts.
Right.
And then that seemed to really work well.
Yes, it did. Bob Hope, an interesting person, too. He had his brother lived in Morrow County, and Bob had lived in Morrow County sometime in his youth. So, you know, that's where I'm from. I live probably a half a mile from a house that the Hopes, from what I've been told, lived in. The house is now torn down, I should say, a half a mile from the lot. But he used to come to the Ohio State Fair every year. And he would come to Mount Gilead to a restaurant, which was probably about a mile from where I grew up, called The Inn, because he knew Dorothy Kemmy that ran The Inn. And he would come there every year to have a meal. And he loved her apple pie.
You know, a few Christmases ago, somebody gave me the, I guess, do they call him unauthorized anymore? I don't. I mean, people in his family participated, so I guess it really wasn't all that unauthorized. Mm-hmm. But just not written by him, I guess. The definitive biography of Bob Hope. And I was shocked at, because obviously his wife is dead now, Dolores.
Mm-hmm.
But his daughter, Linda, mm-hmm. who seems to be the keeper of everything now and worked on a lot of his television shows and obviously was with him for a lot of his life, him living to be 100, she was willing to discuss a lot of stuff that I think most people probably don't know about Bob Hope, who didn't read that book, that he was, he certainly had his extracurricular activities. He certainly was not a... what would you say? He was not faithful throughout his entire life.
There you go.
But they were all aware of it. You know, his family was completely aware of it. But the thing that, you know, that didn't shock me most of any... The thing that shocked me was, and now that I've went back and watched a lot of them because of Antenna TV, is that where they run the old Tonight shows with Johnny Carson?
You know, I've seen it, but I can't remember what...
Well... If you watch them now, you watch after you read this book, you'd watch them with a whole another perspective, because in the beginning, Johnny Carson liked Bob Hope, mm-hmm. but as he got older and was doing those shows in his 80s and Johnny hated having him on because he couldn't hear, and he would bring these clip packages that he thought ran too long. And you, if you watch him now, you can kind of see that Johnny is trying to be fun with Bob, but he's not really liking
right.
that he's there.
Right.
But and I also learned from that book that because of that, because of Bob deteriorating to that level on The Tonight Show, that Johnny, that's why Johnny didn't, one of the reasons he never came back. He said, if I ever get like this, tell me.
Oh, wow.
Because I don't want to be seen like this.
Right.
So I thought that was interesting.
But, you know, you and Johnny Carson have something in common.
Oh, what is that?
You both interviewed Phyllis Diller and maybe some other folks.
That Ed McMahon.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm sure there were a lot of Charles Grodin, Jim Fowler.
Oh, Jim Fowler, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Interviewed him in person in New York.
Okay.
Amazing Kreskin. I picked a lot of Johnny's people up when he went to the Great Beyond.
Yep.
Talk shows don't run like that anymore. Talk shows don't have regulars.
Yeah, there's no Johnny Carson anymore. Nobody compares with what he did.
But you know the really unique one that people forget, I think because Johnny did it for so long, was Jack Paar.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Paar was really good. I think he was better than Johnny Carson. At Jack Paar, his conversation skills were so interesting.
And Jack Paar was the predecessor to Johnny Carson on The Tonight Show, I do believe.
Yes.
And he lost his job because he said something about a toilet on the air, I believe.
Well, I know that story, and it's a good story. That's one of my favorite television stories because I think it's the only time it's ever happened. But it would make no sense now, the actual joke that caused all this problem. But The Tonight Show was live in those days,
mm-hmm.
and a censor... But they did have a censor in case something, God forbid, would go on. So Jack Paar went on, and he was telling a joke about, at that time, what you would call, he said the word WC.
Water closet.
Water closet, mm-hmm. which meant toilet.
Okay.
That's what a water closet was.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, the censor thought he was talking about Wayfield Chapel. When he said WC.
Oh, okay.
So he bleeped it.
Okay.
He bleeped the joke.
Okay.
So the next day, Jack Paar found out about this and said, you know, because he was being called in all the papers, because nobody saw what happened, because they bleeped it. They just
right.
went away. And all the newspapers were saying that he was vulgar, and that's why he had to be censored and all that. So he didn't like that. So he came in and he said to the NBC executives, he said, tonight, just let me air what you cut out last night because now you know it's water closet, not Wayfield. And let me explain what happened.
Oh.
And that'll get it all out of the papers. And the president of NBC, I guess, called back and said, we agree with you, Jack, but if you do that, it'll look like you're running the company. And Jack said, well, then you watch the show tonight, which again was live. And I heard this story through Hugh Downs, because Hugh Downs was his announcer.
Okay.
And that's the only person he told. He said he went to you before the show, and he said, I'm leaving. I'm just telling you this, because when I walk off, you'll have to finish the show. And I want to give you a heads up. So Jack comes out, and the great line is he comes out and he says, you know, he tells why he's leaving. And he says, there's got to be a better way to make a living than this. And stands up and walks off.
I think I've seen a clip of that.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Just walked off.
Mm-hmm.
Only person to ever do that. And he was gone for about 2 months. And they wanted him back. And it was a huge story. And NBC worked it out with him. So he didn't leave. And he comes back. And it's the greatest thing in the world. Because if you see the footage of him coming back. Because the last thing you hear him say is, there's got to be a better way to make a living than this. And he walks off. So... He comes back and huge applause. It was a huge event. He comes back and it's live and the crowd's going wild. And he starts off, he says, as I was saying, there's got to be a better way to make a living than this. He said, well, I've looked and there's not. And
okay.
So he's back. And that's how it all got wiped away.
Okay.
And I think that's a great television story.
That is. I like the one that the, you've had him on several times. Talks about being on Fantasy Island, Hervé Villechaize. And what happened with Hervé and his wife. Yeah, Shecky, that's who it is. Yeah. Ooh. You have Shecky on pretty often, don't you?
Because he's timeless.
Yes.
I never know what he's going to talk about. He can do an impression. Just the other day, or the last time he was on, back in October, I never knew he worked with Elvis Presley. First time we'd ever talked about that. And he did the impression of Colonel Rob Parker. Tom Parker, yes. Yeah.
I hadn't heard that
and
one
he,
yet.
He did that, and he talked about, what was the drink? Propofol or something that the colonel used to try to sell. Some kind of elixir. Said he used to try to sell it to him all the time. But I guess when you live to be 94, because I don't even think Elvis would be 94 yet.
No, he would be in his 80s right now.
Yeah.
So there he was born the same year as my dad, 1935.
So there you go. Yep. Shecky was born in 26.
Yep. So yeah, Elvis died, well, he was younger than what I am now when he passed away. I remember that day.
Well, he was...
He was what now?
He was doing some stuff.
Yes, he was.
It's not like he just went into the slumber.
Right, and he died in the bathroom, and yeah. I'd gotten my first car, a 66 Volkswagen, and I was sitting in it cleaning it, and that's where I heard the news of Elvis' death. I don't know why I remember that, but I do.
And what did you do?
I went out and bought Elvis 8-track tapes.
You didn't mourn the man.
No, not really. I liked his, some of his music, but his earlier music, his later music.
Now, did you mourn when John Lennon died?
No.
Plug again. We got about 4 minutes left.
Oh, about 4 minutes? Okay.
Yeah, about 4 minutes.
I have 4 minutes to talk about Monday.
The next two Mondays.
Monday, November 30th. Misty Rowe from Hee Haw and other productions and some publications as well will be
Playboy.
Here. Will be here to talk about her new book.
Oh, is she coming in?
Well, she'll be calling in. Misty Memories.
We'll get her a chair.
If you want a copy, which comes out December 7th, you can go online to www.mistyrowebook.com to pre-order the book. If you want to have her sign it through Zoom, she's going to do a Zoom signing. You can find that information on there as well. And on the 7th, we're going to give a kind of a memorial service to Pearl Harbor, what happened there, how it led to the Second World War. And Fred Malone, one of our old friends, will be here, as well as we'll have a World War II veteran on the line, and I do not know his name. So be listening to the Mike Wilson Show on Mondays from 5:10 till 6.
November 30th and December the 7th. Two big shows.
And any date after that as well.
Do you have any ideas as we head in? Because you'll be 14th and 21st. You'll have two shows before Christmas after this.
I'm not sure on those as of this moment.
Do you have a thought process?
I don't. It's pretty random.
I mean, do you like the idea of doing something Christmassy?
Well, yeah, I would like something Christmassy. And
did you do a Christmas show last year?
I don't think I did.
You came to the Christmas party.
I did. I was here.
We'll do that this year. We'll just all stand 6 feet apart.
Okay. Some of us will be on the ceiling, I guess.
We'll have to wear masks or something, but we got to keep that tradition going.
Sure,
you know?
I think it's a great tradition.
It's a lot of fun.
It was fun last year. You even got to have your ears tickled with Adam and I singing the Charlie Evers theme song.
That wasn't at the Christmas party, was it?
That was at the Christmas party.
Why would we sing the Charlie theme song at the Christmas party?
Oh, what else do we have? Oh, the anniversary party.
That was the anniversary party.
Okay, I'm getting as mixed up as
the anniversary's in June, and the Christmas party's in December.
Okay.
They're 6 months apart.
That's
we
true.
Get together twice a year.
And we always have pizza, I noticed.
Well, you know how that started? I'll tell you why that is. It started with the Christmas thing. Because we were all trying to figure out, well, what are we going to serve for Christmas? And the first year we had the Christmas party, we got like a spread from Kroger. And some people were not big fans of, like, ham, and some people weren't big fans of the... So it was a weird type of thing. So the next year, we went out looking for a supporter, and Domino's wanted to support the event.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody just happened to say off the top of their head, well, why don't we have... Everybody seems to like pizza some way or another, and it's very easy to clean up. And since Domino's is going to be supporting the event... Why not? We can talk about eating the pizza. So that's how that happened, and we had no pizza left that first year. So we have now had to order more pizza each and every year for not running out of it, because everybody comes to the Christmas party, and some people who aren't even on the station with regular shows come to the Christmas party, which is fun.
Yes.
So that's how that got started, and because that went so well, then Domino's also started supporting the anniversary. So they did two shows a year, and that's why we have pizza at the anniversary party.
Oh, okay.
So that's how that all came about.
Okay.
It's really not about pizza. It's really about Domino's.
Okay.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah. So that's why that happens.
And the pizza's delicious, by the way.
It really is.
Keep up the tradition there, guys.
Keep up the tradition. Well, Mike, it's been good having you in today. I'll be back tonight with Angie Evers and Sean Kraft from 8 to 10. Don't miss that. I'm sure it'll be Christmas-themed tonight. We're all in a bit of a Christmas mood because the studio's decorated. We are in the Christmas season now. Thanksgiving's over. And it's a fun time of year.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
I've heard that.
That could be made into a song.
Work on that.
I will.
Right along with a Christmas carol.
We'll see what we can do.
Won't happen. But make it happen. It would be great. It'd be great this year during the COVID mess. Something good for people. Now... do remember Monday coming up on Mike Wilson Show, 5:10 to 6 p.m., the Hee-Haw Honey, who once appeared in Playboy, Misty Rowe, and 2 weeks from now, Fred Malone, local historian, and a World War II veteran on the day of Pearl Harbor, December the 7th, 5:10 to 6 p.m. Monday. Mike, it's been fun this morning. We'll have to do this again soon.
Sure.
And for this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Gunner and Blitzen! To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall. Now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As dry leaves that before the wind hurricane flies.